The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
High or added protein foods are popping up everywhere. You've probably seen them. Ice cream, pizza, even coffee. The nutrients' newfound popularity has a lot to do with the fact that it's supposed to help our bodies repair and build up muscle. But do these new snacks with added protein come with added health risks? And are there other nutrients we should be paying more attention to? Well, I'm joined by Ciara McNulty, registered dietitian. Ciara, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, tell me, what is happening with protein? Why is it suddenly all the rage?
I think throughout the years, there's always a nutrient that's in the spotlight. And for some reason, at the moment, high protein is one of those things that we're seeing. It's definitely part of a trend. But that's not to say it's necessarily always a bad thing. But I think with any trend, it's really important for people to understand the nuance and how they can adapt this diet to suit their lifestyle.
Okay, so every day in our diet, we would consume carbohydrates. Probably we need our calories, of course, to fuel our activities. We consume fats and we consume proteins. But many foods will have all three.
Yes, absolutely.
So how do we know when we're getting the balance right? Because if you think back in the day before we started to label products and tell you how many grams of this and how many grams of that you had, people went about their daily work. They had a breakfast, they had lunch, they had dinner, and they managed to thrive. So what is it now about our preoccupation? What's changed?
Yeah, I think I know everyone always blames social media for a lot of things happening, but with the rise of social media, we have so much access to education and information. And I think people are just becoming more interested, which is also can be a really good thing. But as you said, We've been eating forever and we've done really well so far in terms of getting in nutrients to keep us alive and healthy. So why do we need to complicate things? And we don't. We just need to be, yeah, mindful of your carbohydrates, your proteins, your fruits and vegetables. But also I think people get confused about the proportions of what nutrients should be on the plate and when, and how to have a balanced diet. And okay, I'm here to educate people on that.
So, Ciara, the question of how depleted our diet might be because of processed foods. I mean, I understand that if you have, say, frozen foods, that the peas that you take from your freezer can be even better than the peas that have been languishing on the shelf in the supermarket for 2 days because they're in effect fresher. But, you know, in terms of other processing, whether it's white bread or anything else you mentioned, is it that they have become depleted in the things that we need?
Processing like white bread can take away fiber, and fiber is really important for a lot of things, mainly our gut health and our heart health. So it is definitely depleting us of fiber, and it's hard for people to eat enough fiber. And I'd say 90% of the Irish population don't eat enough fiber, probably because of that reason.
Okay, so that's because we're not getting fresh fruit and veg. So going back to protein, because that was really the topic du jour. Why are people suddenly taking protein? Is it to do with bodybuilding, the body beautiful and all of that?
Yeah, there's a lot of conversation around getting enough protein if you're someone that exercises. So if you're lifting weights in the gym or if you're running, all of the marketing around sports foods is about protein. But even if you're not exercising, it's really important to get enough protein. But we don't need to get too much protein. And that's where the lines are blurred. People don't need to eat more than about 1.5 grams of protein per kilo of their body weight. So if you know your body weight in kilograms, multiply that by 1.5, that's more than enough protein to eat in grams per day. And once you know if you're getting that, you don't need to overdo it because there's no added benefit to doing that.
So typically for someone who is, I don't know whether people still work in stones and pounds. I think in this jurisdiction they do. In America, they work in pounds pretty much all the time. Yeah. In Europe, they work in kilos. But for the average person who would be weighing in at about, say, 8.5, 9 stone for a female, maybe 11 or 12 stone for a bodybuilding male, what does that translate in terms of grams of protein needed?
So I would say on average, people need about 70 to 100 grams of protein per day. And you want to make sure that that is split up evenly throughout the day and avoid getting large amounts of protein in any one meal. Some people can be guilty of, you know, not eating a lot of protein in their breakfast or their lunch and having a big dinner. But we get more benefit when you get protein at your breakfast, at your lunch, at your dinner, and at snacks as well.
So where am I to get my protein from? Will you take us through some of the foods that you might have at breakfast, lunch and dinner that would actually get me that kind of level of protein, 100 grams of protein in a day?
Yes, let's start with breakfast. So using dairy products like milk or even a high protein milk, which is a great option, as well as eggs or maybe a low fat breakfast meat like turkey rashers, for example. And lastly, baked beans. So beans, turkey and eggs in the morning. Amazing. Moving on to lunch, having something like a lean meat, which would be chicken, fish, you can go for tinned tuna, or maybe you're having a plant-based option like tofu or beans with your lunch. And then still sticking with your animal products at dinner, something like having oily fish like salmon or a lean mincemeat. So something like 5% mincemeat with your dinner is definitely going to get you up to that 70 to 100 grams per day. It's a little bit more tricky for people that don't include animal products in their diet. So making sure that you're getting your beans or your tofu if you don't eat meat.
Now, people have these protein shakes, which are generally based on milk products, I think. So therefore, if you're vegan, you're not going to be taking those. So it's harder for someone who's a vegan bodybuilder. Is there such a thing? I don't know.
There is.
Because it's hard to imagine that someone of a vegan philosophy would actually be too fussed about building biceps for the sake of biceps.
You can get vegan protein powders just like you could get like a milk-based protein powder. Those supplements are made from pea protein usually or soy-based protein.
Now, the question of too much protein, where might the damage occur?
So having too much protein would put stress on your kidneys. And that's the main reason to avoid getting too much protein. And most people wouldn't get too much protein from eating too much food or protein foods, but it would be introducing those extra supplements unnecessarily.
Okay, and that brings me to creatine, because there's a big thing on social media at the moment about creatine, and even the kids in school feel they need their creatine. Where does that come from? What is creatine and is it good or bad for us?
Creatine is an example of an amino acid, and proteins are made up of amino acids. So it's kind of part of protein. It's also found in the same foods that you'd get your high protein foods from. So red meat, fish, and chicken are loaded with creatine. And if we're following a diet that includes red meat, fish, and chicken, most people don't really need to supplement with creatine. But if you're very physically active, if you're lifting weights, I would say if you're, you know, over 18, I don't really tend to focus on kids needing extra supplementation. Then you might benefit from an athletic performance perspective. So, you know, lifting heavier, recovering quicker from taking a supplement of creatine. And that's on top of your diet. So on top of getting enough protein in your diet.
Now, the questions are coming in. Are turkey rashers processed food or not?
Yeah, turkey rashers would undergo some processing. It's really helpful to look out for nitrates in foods like turkey rashers or pork rashers, and if possible, find a nitrate-free option, which does exist. But a lot of foods are processed. Brown bread is processed. So it's just looking for the best option possible. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
Sports like rugby and lately Gaelic football and hurling demand that their young players bulk up by consuming unnatural protein powders. It's a health risk, according to my listener. What do you say?
I would say focus on foods, get in milk, get in eggs, get in chicken, and, no one needs to take a protein supplement, to be honest. And food first should always be used.
I remember when I was living in America many years ago that the jocks, the guys who were playing for the team at Georgia Tech, they would have steak for breakfast. So, and lunch, I presume, and dinner as well. But that's how they were getting their protein for the level of their activity. Another one, my son is asking me to buy protein powder for him. Which would you recommend and how much per day?
It's a really tricky one. It depends on their body weight and their exercise. I don't recommend any brand in particular, but just be really mindful that protein supplements aren't really regulated and they're not usually third-party tested. And what that means is what is on the label doesn't guarantee that that's what's in the packet. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of regulation. So a brand that you trust and you think is reputable and has minimal ingredients. So I would look for something that is 100% whey protein with no extra minerals, vitamins or other compounds added in there.
Alison Trim says loads of high protein foods have collagen, so vegetarians can't eat them. It's a cheap shot. I think it was me talking about vegan bodybuilders. Because we need protein too, says Alice.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's loads of sources of vegan proteins and pea protein, as I mentioned, soy protein. Those would be in powder forms. But getting in enough lentils, beans, tofu and soy milk in your diet will give you more than enough protein. Mm.
I never paid attention to protein, but then I started to take Mounjaro and my doctor emphasized the importance of increasing my protein intake to prevent muscle loss. Is this something you've come across?
Yes, and they are absolutely right. If you're getting in enough protein on a calorie deficit while you're losing weight, it'll help prevent you from losing your muscle mass and it'll cause you to lose more fat rather than more muscle in terms of your weight loss, which is brilliant.
I'm 65 years old. I'm a woman. I'm 10 and a half stone. I typically eat 2 eggs at breakfast, a tuna sandwich or similar at lunch, and a small chicken breast with salad, plus veg, plus brown rice at dinner. Snacks would be a handful of nuts and seeds, but I'm nowhere near the 65 grams of protein that my GP says I need at my age. But I'm full after these meals and have thought about protein shakes in order to increase it. Should I? Question from Deirdre.
I think that is a brilliant way to increase your protein intake, especially because you don't have the appetite to introduce an extra meal or a heavier food or a snack. So absolutely work away with a protein shake.
Kira, thank you very much for joining us. That's Kira McNulty, registered dietitian. And it's a topic that seems to be exercising many of our listeners. Lots of comments coming in. I'll bring more to you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.